Thank you, Brother Abraham, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And good morning, everyone tuning in. Sister Dolores, good morning. So this morning, I want us to take a look at lions for our exhortation, and as you might have guessed from the reading, and that could mean physical lions or spiritual lions. And, of course, when tackling the subject of lions, you can't help but go to Daniel and the lion's den. And you may think that we're going to talk about just the lions in the den, but we're mainly going to focus on the lions outside of the den. So you'll see what I mean in a little bit. And what really inspired me for this subject is that Daniel, the man, is the subject of a youth conference in Texas this December. And so I have the opportunity to write a section of a workbook that young people will fill out before the camp. And so I happened to pick Daniel chapter 6. So this has definitely been on my mind as of late. And as I started writing these questions for young people, I was amazed at the amount of exhortational material found in this chapter. Because normally I thought of Daniel as just a story, just a children's story. This would be one of the first stories you learned as a kid in Sunday school. But it's much deeper than that when you really look at the details. And so if you're like me, that's the way it's been compartmentalized in your mind as just a story. And so what I want to do this morning is to take a deeper look at this chapter and see if we can glean some exhortation and to show that in our lives that we need to have the courage of a lion when we deal with the lions in our lives. So definitely this talk is about lions. And before we get started on chapter 6, when we think of Daniel's background before the account of the lion's den, we learn that Daniel, as a young man, was taken into Babylon in captivity. And we think about how all the trials that he went through, he had his name changed to Belteshazzar, to honor one of the gods of the Babylonians. And through all his life, we see that he remained faithful to God despite all his trials. He interpreted visions and dreams to kings, and he was filled with wisdom, and he instructed many. And so Daniel knew firsthand the deliverance that God could bring. And when we come to this account of Daniel in the lion's den, he's much older by this time. He'd lived through the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, King Belshazzar, and now he's in the reign of King Darius. And so we have Daniel as an older man by the time we get here. So if you would, let's turn back to Daniel chapter 6. And as we're turning there, I want you to take a moment to think about the characteristics of lions. What are they known for? When you think of a lion, what's the first thing that you think of? Beast, Abraham said. Yeah, and I tend to think of strength. You think of a lion, you think of strength. You think of courage or ferocity. You think of an apex predator, the king of the jungle. And in nature, male lions often have to defend their position from other lions trying to usurp their position. And when we have a group of lions, what are they called? They're called a lion pride. And the Babylonians especially had an appreciation for lions. I actually brought a picture of the Ishtar gates, and you can see it afterwards, but they have these beautiful depictions of lions on gates as they would enter. It'd be in the city of Babylon during that day, and the gates were called the Ishtar gates, and I think they have pieces of it in a museum somewhere. And so these kind of things would have been around during Daniel's time, so they definitely had an understanding of what lions represented. And when we think of lions and their characteristics expressed in people, you could see that it could be used for great good or great evil. We think of different characters that we see in the Bible, that we think of Christ as the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that's in a good sense. And then there's this verse in Peter that talks about the devil walks around as a roaring lion, and so that's the bad sense. So it depends on how we use these lion characteristics in our lives and what that means. So let's take a look at verse 1 in Daniel 6, and it talks about Darius setting over these 120 princes, and there is three presidents, of whom Daniel was first. And in verse 3, it says that Daniel had an excellent spirit, and that's why he was put above them. And When we think about an excellent spirit, we only need to look at the rest of Daniel's life to see what that meant. Because in Daniel 1 and 4, it talked about these children who were brought up, who were well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning, knowledge, and understanding. They were skilled in science and had the ability to stand in the king's palace. So Daniel was part, as a young man, he was chosen as someone who was known for great wisdom and instruction. And then when Daniel was interpreting dreams for King Nebuchadnezzar, he said to him, "O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubles you, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof." And then even on to the next king, King Belshazzar, he said, "Daniel, I have heard of you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and the light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you." And so Daniel had a lifelong record of having this excellent spirit. And he had a courageous spirit as well, because it's hard to get in front of a king, I would imagine, and tell him that your kingdom's going to fall, or to tell them that something that they wouldn't like to hear. And so it takes a lot of courage to be able to do something like that. And we think of some actions of Daniel in his young life when he refused to eat meat offered unto idols. And we, again, time and time again, he had courage in the strength that God could give him. So those are both aspects of a lion. So our first lion that we're going to talk about this morning is Daniel himself. And yet his greatest strength, it was not of his own strength, but it was of God. And that's where we too must glean our strength in life. And God is where we must draw our courage from. In verse 4 of Daniel 6, it talks about the presidents and princes trying to seek an occasion against Daniel. And they couldn't find any fault in his character. Because he was so faithful, they couldn't find anything wrong with him. That's pretty amazing when you think about someone's life. If you had 120 people looking at your life and what you've been doing at work, would they come up empty like they did for Daniel? He came out good as gold under the microscope. And it's pretty amazing to see that. And when I think about our own lives, when you're at work, is it the same way that you act when you're outside of work? Daniel was completely consistent when he is outside of his duties and when he was doing them. And one thing that I like to think of is, am I the same person when I leave this meeting hall as the person when I came? Is that characteristic, my attitude, the things that I do, are they consistent throughout that whole process? And our service to Christ doesn't allow us to be different people in different places. Because when we went into the waters of baptism, we gave our life to Christ, not just that part of our life that's outside of work. And so one of our exhortations from Daniel is that we need to be consistent from the beginning of the day to the end of the day and uphold godly principles in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Because that's the kind of man that Daniel was, and that's the way that we should be too. And it's amazing what little things people will pick up on in life when they see you. To give you an example from my life a few years back, I worked for a company of about 50 people. And most of them were technicians, and we'd work in a shop. And there was this one day that we were having a meal. They'd cooked up hamburgers, and everyone was there, and Sierra was there also. So that was one of the times that she was visiting. And it came time to give thanks for the lunch. And my boss came and said, "Would you be willing to offer thanks for the lunch?" And that really surprised me. Because for all the other company get-togethers, my boss had always, every time, he'd given thanks. But something that he saw from me made him think, you know, he might be someone that could offer thanks for us. And so I didn't go around like doing Bible classes at work or any. I just told him what I was doing. If I was going on a vacation, I'd say, "Well, I'm going to this Bible school." Or on the weekends, if I was working at a youth camp, I would just tell him what I was doing. And it was that little thing, you could tell he saw that. And it made an impression on him. So that's one of the lessons that I learned from just being a little bit consistent from you're going to meeting, we're talking about the truth. If you just do that in your own life, people will begin to notice. And they definitely noticed for Daniel. You look at all the kings, you think about Nebuchadnezzar, he talked about the Almighty God, and especially after he was humbled. And we'll see that Darius also mentions God at the end of this chapter. And so those just little things that you do can have a huge impact in the long run, just that consistency. And looking at verse 5 here, it says, "These men said, 'We shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning his God.'" And again, that's very amazing that the only thing they could find is something against what Daniel believed. He was that consistent in his life. And then it goes on to say in Daniel chapter 6, and looking around verse 6, how they came to the king and they convinced him to make a decree that no one should give any honor or praise to anyone but King Darius himself. And if they didn't, they'd be cast in a den of lions. And so now we've seen the second group of lions, and that's these presidents and princes, their ferocity and formulating this plan to get Daniel thrown into the den of lions was certainly one of the negative characteristics of a lion. And notice how they convince Darius. They kind of pull upon his pride. And you remember what a group of lions is called? It's called a lion pride. And so Darius had these people that pulled upon his pride of lions. And talking about the ferocity of lions, sometimes I like to watch National Geographic, and you see them chasing their prey, and they'll team up, they'll work together, and they'll, one after another, they're attacking. And so you imagine Daniel here trying to be faithful, and then he has all these attackers coming upon him. And when we think about pride, we learn in Proverbs that pride goes before a fall. And oftentimes in life, it's good for us to have our humble pie every once in a while. And God has clever ways of doing that. For me, I had an instance in my life as a young man. I had recently graduated high school. I was really big into playing basketball. I had received a lot of honors for playing basketball. And so I was headed to college with a full head of steam. And as I got to college and started playing with some of the teammates, I started looking up at them. And I never looked up at other people when I was in high school. And I started to notice that they were much more athletic, or there was much more talent than I had. And so I was very prideful as this young man, because I went to a small school. You know, you would go from the all-star to the all-star bench warmer. And so that's kind of what I did. And in the end, it was a really good experience for me, because I had that humbling experience. And ever since then, I've carried that with me in all kinds of situations, because what it taught me was, with whatever situation you're given, with whatever talents you have, you need to do the best with what you have been given. And so that carries over in all kinds of avenues of life. I think of the truth when you tell people about the Bible. Sometimes you don't know all the answers, and that's okay. You just do the best you can with what you've been given. And so that's one of the greatest lessons I learned. So it's good for us to have a slice of humble pie every now and then. And God does those kind of things for us for the good in the end. And so let me read here verse 10. "So after Daniel heard about this decree, he went to his house, and his windows were open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, and he kneeled upon his knees three times a day. And he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And so Daniel doesn't alter his routine one bit, even though now it was against the law of the land to do what he had always done. And a lesser man would have hidden in his closet when this decree happened to pray. But yet he continued to have the windows wide open so everyone could see. And it's amazing to see the faith that Daniel had. And when we think about his past experience, he'd seen time and time again God had delivered people. You think of his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, being delivered from the fiery furnace. Daniel knew the deliverance that God could bring, and so he wasn't afraid. And he also knew that it was really God who ruled. It wasn't any king or any presidents. God was the one who rules in the kingdoms of men. And then we think about the first thing Daniel, it says that Daniel did when he heard it. He went and prayed. So anytime we have something that's a pretty big event that happened. Daniel went and prayed. And so that's a good lesson for us. Anytime something major happens in our lives, something that can make us worried or upset, it's good to go in prayer to our Heavenly Father. And his act of praying, he did it 3 times a day. And it's really neat that he set aside that time. And that's a really good lesson for us to do in our own lives, to set aside time for prayer. And I'm going to move on to verse 20 here. And this is kind of after Daniel had already been thrown into this den of lions. King Darius did everything he could to reverse this decision, but the laws of the land prevented him from doing it. And so Daniel's in the lion's den, and the next morning, King Darius comes to the tomb, or to the den. And he says in verse 20, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" And so we see that King Darius knew about Daniel's God. So Daniel's consistency and courage not to hide his faith, and his dedication to God certainly made an impression on King Darius. And like we said before, it takes the courage of a lion to share your faith. And we know the rest of the story. We just read it, how God sent his angel to shut the mouths of the lions, and how King Darius threw the presidents, princes, and their families into the den instead. Yet, in our own lives, we do battle with lions from time to time. And sometimes they take the form of an intense trial, like we had with Daniel there. And that could be physical, emotional, or spiritual, or all three at once. Sometimes when it rains, it pours, as they say. And so sometimes you're stuck in an environment like Daniel was, where these people didn't care for the God that you serve. And so there's always some kind of trial, some kind of lion in our lives, but we all have one that's in common, and that's the battle with sin, that battle to overcome sin in our lives, because we know that the wages of sin is death. And one way that you could think of it is like a computer program where the inputs of sin lead to outputs in death. And I'll have to talk to Josh or James to see if that programming sounds right to him. And that's sad to say, that's my knowledge of code. That's about as far as it goes. But that's a very important program to understand in our lives, that inputs of sin lead to outputs of death. And like I mentioned before, that verse in 1 Peter 5 and 8 talks about the devil walks about the earth as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's 1 Peter 5 and 8. And Christ also battled with this lion and overcame it. In Hebrews 2:14, it says, "He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." So Christ did that by living a life in complete obedience to his Heavenly Father, a life without sin. And as we understand the devil to basically be the personification of sin in its many forms, and most of the time the biggest lion that we have to overcome is ourselves. And that's the first step to overcoming it, is understanding where it comes from. And we can't do it by ourselves. We have to have God's mercy. Just like Daniel couldn't escape the lion's den without God sending his angels, we can't do it without God. We can't overcome the lion of sin. And the last lion that we're going to look at this morning, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And as we read through this, I don't know if you noticed, but there's many parallels to the life of Christ in Daniel chapter 6. And I'm just going to go through a few of them. One of them, we already talked about prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer, and our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. You look at several times in his life, he would go out apart into a mountain alone and pray, have that alone time with him and his Father. And we look at how Daniel was betrayed by his fellow presidents and princes, those people that were his colleagues. Christ was also betrayed by his brethren, the Jews, the scribes and Pharisees. And just like King Darius, he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver Daniel from the den, but ultimately he had to give in. We think about Pilate after his wife received that dream. From that time, Pilate sought to release Christ, but ultimately he gave in to the will of the people. And also, after Daniel was delivered into the den of lions, we notice that there was a stone rolled over the mouth of the den. We look at Christ after he was crucified, there was a stone rolled over the mouth of the cave. And then also, the good part, just as Daniel was saved from certain death from the lions, he rose out of that den. Christ also came out of the grave. He overcame that devouring lion of sin and death, and he was resurrected and risen from the dead. And so this story, like so many others in Scripture, gives us a better picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we read some of the last verses of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, I want us to think of Christ, I want us to think of Daniel, and I want us to think of ourselves. So I'm going to read Daniel 6 and 26 and 27. And this is King Darius making a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who has delivered Daniel, Christ, ourselves, from the power of lions. And so as we come to these emblems this morning, I want us to remember that we serve this God of Daniel. That's the same God who delivered Daniel from the den of lions, the same God who gave Christ victory over the grave, and it is the same God who can deliver you from your own lions in life.